We have two readings this morning now, and invite Jill and Joyce to come up and read. Thank you.
This reading is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. It's on page 1046 to 1047 in the Pew Bible. On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, the daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing.
Second reading is from Hebrews, chapter 12, beginning at verse 18. That's page on page 1211. "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So to see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.'" The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Amen. Thank you. We have an interesting text before us this morning from Luke. Jesus heals the woman that was crippled. The times that I've preached in this church now, I've never preached here or taken a service that comes from the lectionary. I've always just hung on and waited for God to give me his word and text and take it from there. And for the last two and a half weeks, I've just drawn a blank. And he just didn't come. So out of desperation, I turned to the lectionary for today, and up popped this text from Luke. And then things just took off. I don't find it an easy text, but I believe in my heart, this is what God has given me and directed me for us to dwell and look into and to see what this text is actually saying to us this morning. So I just say that just in case I humble or stumble or lose my way, I'm standing here in faith this morning that this is what God has given me to say. There is, I believe, such prejudice and assumptions today in society in which we live, as there was in times when Jesus walked this earth through his ministry of teaching and healing. He came up against such prejudice and assumptions from the people. And every time we look into God's inspired word, we are still pulled up and inspired and made to listen to what he is saying to us at the time through his word given to us at the moment. So today we look into Luke chapter 13. A crippled woman healed on the Sabbath. Hence the challenge this morning, to be challenged in the gospel truth, what is Christ saying to us today? Christ sends us today to take up his ministry of healing for those who need healing with the tools we have, to expand and to witness through the church, as John Wesley and John Bunyan did over 200-300 years ago when they went on horseback through the villages and through the towns, expanding on the word as God had given it to them, so others would learn and be challenged and to know what the gospel was saying. And today it is no different. So let us now look at this woman who is at the centre of the picture before us this morning. This woman walks into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, just as we have walked into his church this morning. And Luke tells us that this woman was in this state for 18 years. And he's very precise about 18 years. But why 18 years, I don't know, and it doesn't say. But he's very precise that we need to know she was in this state for 18 years. And the only way I can understand that is because has she been in this state for 18 years, her illness and her crippledness and all that was making her the way she was would have been so truly set in that it would probably be nigh impossible to have healed her or to have put her right. She has been bowed down. In the Greek, it can be translated as bent double. We are told because of this infirmity, she could not lift herself up. To be bent double means that you bend from the waist, the base of your spine, and you are like that. And so you imagine this woman, she probably would have had two sticks, and all she would have seen is at her feet and around there, she would have no horizon. And can you imagine what she must have gone through and been like that for 18 years? Only by seeing what is before her at the level of her feet. This meant that her field of vision was narrow. To lift oneself up in medical terms, as a term used in biblical times, and in John chapter 8 it is used where Jesus speaks in the temple to the woman who was down on her knees and accused and taken in an act of sin. And Jesus bends down and speaks to her. Then it says Jesus lifted himself up and spoke to the woman. He lifts himself up, straightens himself up, and he speaks to the woman and to the people around him. This woman in the synagogue is unable to lift herself up due to being bent double. Her eyes are always looking on the ground. She was unable to look Jesus in the eye. She was unable to see where Jesus was probably even sitting or standing. Luke refers to it as an infirmity for 18 years. Jesus refers to this situation as a spirit of infirmity that bound her and came from Satan. His words, not mine. Satan's hand was upon this woman's infirmity and basically imprisoned her for 18 years. This woman was a victim of demon activity, reducing this woman to suffer for 18 years of this terrible disability and holding her captive. So here is this dear woman in the synagogue. She has found her way to the place of worship, and we are told that Jesus was here. And Jesus refers to this dear soul as a daughter of Abraham. And he used this term in its full spiritual significance as revealing her faith in God and her faith from what she had, no doubt, heard about this man, Jesus, in the community. And now here she is in his presence in a place of worship. In faith, she is there before Jesus to heal her and to take away her suffering. There are, of course, many such cases of suffering today in society. And as hard as we may try to fathom out as to why, the mystery of suffering and the power of evil over our society today, as it was then, is a constant battle that we as Christians and the church have to fight and must stand up to in the name of Jesus Christ. But we take the facts as revealed and proceed into the healing ministry of Jesus himself as found in the Gospels. And the interesting thing is when Jesus sees this woman, he doesn't actually go over to her. So this woman could hardly walk, I would imagine, but she would just shuffle. And I would imagine every time she shuffled, She would have been in excruciating pain. But he doesn't go to her. He calls her. He calls her to come towards him. He actually makes her shuffle. He makes her get up out of her seat. And she makes him walk to where he is. And so being bent over double, she would have to have walked and listened to where the voice is coming from that is calling her. And I take this in our lives today, that Jesus actually calls us. He doesn't just call us to follow him, but he calls us to come to him in our hour of need, because he's not going to come to us personally. We have to ask him. We have to ask him in prayer. We have to ask him to come to us as an individual person or as a church. Come to me. Come to us, Lord. Hear my prayer. This is my petition. This is my problem. This is my quest. This is my pain. I'm asking you to intervene, to heal me, to touch me. Please call me so I can hear you calling, so I can come to you freely to receive you. And as she comes, and as she shuffles to him, he says, "Woman, woman." The word woman was used by Jesus on other occasions. And this is a word used by Jesus from his very own lips. A word of infinite beauty. A word of infinite tenderness. A word of infinite compassion. Of love. And a word of everlasting grace. For a woman suffering in pain for 18 years, he says, "Woman." Then he touched her. And as he touched so many others and said, "Woman, woman, you are free from your infirmities." By the touch of Jesus, her healing was immediate. For the first time in 18 years, she stood up straight from her narrow field of vision. She now had full vision right over to the horizon and her entire surroundings. And for the first time, she saw Jesus the man in his upright standing for the very first time in her life. This newfound freedom had changed her life completely. And like the woman at the well, this woman in freedom praises the Lord through Jesus for her healing. She praised him and gave him thanks with her hallelujahs for all that he had done for her, for all that he had given her at that instant moment when he said, "Woman, come to me." What a witness she would have been. in those days of the man, Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the healing, the healer, the living God here on earth. And just like the woman at the well, she would have spread that good news in her community and beyond of what this great and wonderful loving man, the Messiah, had done for her on the Sabbath. Excuse me. Now let's go deeper. Now let's look at the congregation in the synod, in the synagogue, and the leaders of the synagogue who witnessed this healing on the Sabbath. The ruler of the synagogue, it says, he was angry. In the words of Scripture, he was moved with indignation. This is the man, the ruler of the synagogue, worshipping and teaching about God of the Old Testament, God the Creator, on the Sabbath, and he was indignant and he was angry by what he had just witnessed, that Jesus had the audacity to intervene in the service and to put this woman first and heal her. There is this long-suffering woman for 18 years entered the synagogue, bent double, untold suffering, standing erect, glorifying God because of what she has just received. How can a man or how can anybody who professes to love God and acknowledge God in their lives and devoted to Him in worship be angry in His holy temple? How could any of us today or any day when we gather in this His church be angry or leave the church so upset beggars belief? How can anybody be angry after witnessing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and His healing powers? Such a man as this, part of the ruling class, shows anger, is a man, a person, who has lost his senses of the worth of humanity, a God of saving grace, and his true sense of the truth, is completely lost on this man. But then, of course, as we read this gospel, this man did not know God from the heart. He only knew it from the repetition of the written word. And many people can recite the word like a parrot, but don't know God and haven't got God in their hearts, let alone having a personal relationship with Him. This man did not know God or understand the love of God for his fellow people. Any ruler of a synagogue or minister of the church or anyone in the church who can get angry by what they have just witnessed in loving humanity of Jesus Christ does not know God personally and does not have a personal relationship with God in Christ. This man, the ruler of the synagogue, had lost his vision of understanding of God and does not know him. Has lost his sense of the value of human life and above all else, Jesus stands before them and stands before us today in our own prejudices and assumptions to alert people in the church to the truth of the gospel, and the gospel truth is the truth which is above all other. People today can be just as crippled and stuck in their thinking and living just as the ruler of the synagogue all those hundreds of years ago. And although their bodies look normal and work quite normally, habits of grumbling about everything, wishing for things we can't have, or being set in our own ways. And when God speaks to us through Jesus himself to help someone to change or to change course, we see it at times as an impossible task because it doesn't fit with our plans or our worldview. They then infer that we are bent double with a narrow field of vision that locks us in spiritually to the full picture that the horizon is showing us. Which means we cannot see Jesus as the woman couldn't see him until she received his touch upon her life. And God in Jesus offers us today, as he offered those in the synagogue on that day in Luke 13, to release us all from such crippling habits and prejudices, and he alone is the only one who can heal us from our anger, from our frustrations, and from our intolerance of others. And he alone is the only one who can set us free from Satan's hold that has such a hold on our society today. Satan is having a field day in our country today. And in Luke 13 speaks to us at a church and to make us stand up straight and look Jesus in the eye and praise him and worship him like the woman and certainly not like the man in the synagogue who had a limited understanding of God's healing grace. Today, God longs for his people to be free. And wherever people have become spiritually jammed by Satan and his evil ways, God will always raise someone else up to offer them release and a fresh start. Also today, I believe we are urged to take up God on his offer of release and look to the new vision that he has for us as individuals and what he has for us as a church. And not to miss out on the possibility of our whole outlook being transformed just because we have become used to living and behaving in a particular way. As this dear woman, crippled and bent over double, found its worth by straightening up and gave her a wider view of Christ. May we also follow her into the future that awaits us by looking to the horizon and a new dawning that awaits us in Jesus Christ. Amen.